If you would look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, our scripture this morning. I remember growing up that people would say that every Sabbath afternoon, as they went home, they would chew over what the pastor had to say as they ate their meal. Well, I hope it didn't give them indigestion. But this morning, I would invite you to think about chewing over this scripture. I would invite you to chew over what that really might mean for your life. And I have found that Jesus sometimes doesn't care about whether I'm comfortable with something. That sometimes he says, you need this experience. And I want you to think this morning as we read these scriptures how these 120 people that had gathered, if this experience was something that they were saying, oh yes, this was the first time that it had happened. This is the first time that they had heard a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire coming down on them. Can you imagine how they must have been shocked as other languages came out of their mouth? Talk about uncomfortable. Let's see what the scripture has to say this morning. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we heard them declaring the word wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Well, they've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now I'm going to start with verse 21 and then we're going to jump back. Because the church has not done right in our preaching about salvation. Okay? We say that if you say the sinner's prayer, then you're saved and you're going to heaven. Guys, I'm telling you, it's the heart. It's not a simple prayer. This scripture says, they who call on the name of the Lord. Well, guys, when we call on the name of the Lord, that means that we are in tune with Him and walking with Him. It's not just a prayer, "Father, forgive my sins because I want to go to heaven." And we in the church sometimes have made it this simple. If you'll do X, Y, and Z, say this prayer, you're saved, you're in, hallelujah. Well, the angels rejoice when someone truly is saved. And it tells us that, and I rejoice as well. But I want you to recognize that it means that we die to ourself daily. No longer is it I who live, but Christ. Now, I'm not trying to replace it that you have to do something else besides Jesus. That's not at all what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is that when we call on the name of the Lord, it says that we are with our whole heart giving our life to Him. Did you hear that last hymn we sang? All to Jesus I surrender. Guys, that means every moment of every day. That even means that in our prayers we surrender to Him. In our dreams we surrender to Him. In our sleep we surrender to Him. We go to sleep with Him on our mind and we wake up with Him on our mind. Or He wakes us up in the middle of the night giving us a dream or a vision. And that's what it's all about. Now, let's go back to these 120 people. Like I said, they hadn't been given an instruction manual. They did not know there was going to be a rushing wind. They did not know that they were going to see tongues of fire come upon them. They did not know they were going to separate and touch each and every one of them. Can you imagine having been there and having that happen to you? Guys, we don't expect enough. God has not changed. We need to be expecting the Pentecost to happen in each one of us. And I'm telling you, it's not comfortable. But which is it that is more important? Following the Lord or my comfort? And that was a rhetorical question. I hope I'm not going to hear anyone say, my comfort. But I know all of us are sitting there saying, but how uncomfortable, God. How uncomfortable. Guys, I like comfort. But we miss out. We miss out because we tell God, well, you can reveal yourself in this way. I'm fine with that. But don't do what that Pentecost was all about. I want you to see that if you read the whole book of Acts, time and time again, the Holy Spirit manifested in ways that we should be expecting. Can you imagine Peter and John going to the temple? Do you think God told them before they got there and the man is there saying, alms, 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 I need help? They reached into their pockets and they were empty. But the Holy Spirit said, but you have something much more that this man needs. Guys, what I'm saying this morning is we need to be ready to allow the Holy Spirit to lay something like that on our heart. These people, this 120 that went out, they were not expecting the Holy Spirit to come this way. But however, they were smart enough to recognize that when it happened to another group before they'd even heard the gospel message, that Jesus was working. And that these people were ready. Because God said, look, the same miracle that I gave you at Pentecost is happening now. Now, I know that the Bible says that God is a God of order. And I know that immediately all of us think, well, as Baptists, we're not real comfortable with some of these things. That's all right, but get over it, guys. I didn't say you had to be comfortable with what brings to the plate. What I said is you have to be ready to receive. That's what happened here. These guys were ready to receive. They had been praying, Lord, come. And they didn't know how He's going to come. And then when He came, they were shocked, I am sure. And in fact, I'll bet you some of them were thinking, am I seeing things? How can you see tongues of fire? And then to see them split off and go and light upon everyone that was there. But I want you not to stop there. Why did God have this Pentecost happen? Jesus told him before He left, you go and you wait in Jerusalem until power comes. This was the mark of the power. Can you imagine Peter standing up, Do you think he'd written out this sermon? Okay, when the tongues come, I'm going to get up and I'm going to preach these words. No, he hadn't prepared a sermon. When he got up and spoke, the Holy Spirit told him, this is what is happening. He said this was told about in Joel. Wake up and smell the roses. God warned you. The prophets told you. He also, as we go through this, if we would go on beyond verse 21, we'd start seeing Psalms 19 and Psalms 110. The prophets that spoke about that and the things that happened. This was not a surprise. Now, Peter was given this by the Holy Spirit. Yes, did he know the Word of God? Had he studied the Word of God? I'm sure that he, because you see, they didn't have it written down like we do. The Word of God was very expensive. It was handwritten, and a whole group had to go together to have one Old Testament. They only got to hear it when they went to the synagogue, because that's where the Word of God was. Guys, we are so, so many times blessed to have our own copies. And then sometimes we don't even open them. What I want us to see, though, is Peter recognized the opportunity God had given. And what did Peter start off telling? He started telling them about the Messiah who had come. He started preaching the gospel. Guys, what I want you to recognize is the power that comes in many ways, and we should expect it to come, but what is most important is that God came back to mankind to heal mankind, to give him a new life, to take away all of the sins of the world, and it only happens through Jesus. And that's what Peter started in. He said, okay, this was already prophesied in Joel. These are things that's going to happen. But let me tell you why this is happening. And he then preaches the sermon, if we were to go on, about salvation. Now, I'll bet you anything he didn't say, just say the sinner's prayer. I'll bet you anything he said, just as Jesus said, deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Jesus was pretty adamant about what it meant to be a Christian. And he didn't say that it's a shirt that you take off and put on just for 2 hours a week. It's not a shirt that you take off and put on just for one day a week. You wear it every day. And you let the Spirit lead you. And when you get into a situation that you don't know what you're supposed to do, you pray. And you say, Heavenly Father, I want to be your servant. Tell me what to do. And expect an answer. Do you think God wants us to walk around in a daze? He gave us His Word, He gave us His example, and He gave us His Spirit. He said, in the day that someone asks you why you do this, the Spirit will give you an answer. Guys, this morning I want us to just wake up and look at where we're sitting in our own lives. I want us to really take stock. I want you to go home and I want you to chew the fat on what has been said here this morning and say, okay, am I really ready? How would I react if I saw if I heard the rushing wind, if I saw the flames of tongues come down upon me, how would I react? Am I going to say, yes, Lord? I've shared with you before how, for me, there were several things that God put me through because I wasn't ready. I was so bound by tradition that I knew that it was all right to kneel because I remember as a child getting down and kneel, you know, beside your bed and you say your nighttime prayers. Okay, I was fine with that. But you know when the psalm started talking about prostrating yourself before the Lord and how I struggled with actually laying down on the ground? You can't believe how I struggled against that. Why? Because I was bound by tradition, not the word of the Lord. Not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead. And the Holy Spirit said, you've got to get to the point that you can actually step away from tradition. Do you know, also another thing, talks about when David danced before the Lord, it really upset people, didn't it? His wife was not thrilled. Well, thank goodness God has never asked me to dance up here in front of you all. It would be a sight to behold, I'm telling you. But he did tell me I had to be willing to do that. And you know what? As my grandchildren have grown, it's something that I have done with them from the time they're little. Have on praise music and just dance before the Lord. Again, it was simply because I was not willing to do it that God said, no, I want your whole heart. Guys, you may never have to dance before the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if there's something that you're telling God that you're not willing to do for Him, watch out, because He's going to demand it. Just give Him your whole heart. It's a lot easier. Then you won't have to be doing these falling on your face and dancing before the Lord if you're ready and willing to say, all to Jesus, I surrender. And Lord, I'm willing. If it is tongues, if it is prophecy, He goes ahead and we find a lot of writings about how the Holy Spirit came upon people and what happened. We see prophecy throughout the New Testament, not only the Old Testament prophets, but throughout the New Testament. Remember when it was prophesied Paul was going to go to Rome, he was going to be put in chains. What happened to Paul when he went to Rome? He was put in chains. He was told, and he said, no, God has told me to go, and I'm willing. I hope we all have Paul's heart this morning. So go home, chew the word. Let God speak. And each morning and each day and each moment as you live, expect the Spirit to tell you what to do. Listen and surrender. Father, I do pray this morning that each of us has looked at our heart and examined it and knows whether it has truly all been given to you, all surrendered. Father, go with us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.